This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Tom Ackerman with you, and we have a loaded show today. Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us at 12:15. Cardinals broadcaster Mike Claiborne at 12:30. Brewers broadcaster Jeff Levering is going to join us at 12:45. The Brew Crew's in town. It's nice to be playing some NL Central teams. Pretty nice playing the Dodgers and taking 2 out of 3. We'll talk to Greg about that. We'll talk to Claibs about that. There was a big, big weekend, big crowds, good crowds at Busch Stadium for the last 3 games, and the Brewers are here tonight. But before we do anything, we want to pay tribute to one of the best to ever do it, and that would be, we learned this morning the passing of John Sterling, the longtime Yankees broadcaster at the age of 87. John Sterling was one of the gems, and there's no question about that. He had a unique delivery, and just the way that he went about it, wearing a suit and dress shoes in the booth, even though he was on radio, that's how he rolled. He was a New York native that lived out a dream. 5 World Series wins, more than 3 decades. He actually started as the play-by-play announcer in 1989 and spent 36 years in that position. He called 5,060 consecutive games, plus 211 more in the postseason until he missed his first game in July 2019. The voice of the Yankees, John Sterling, has passed away at the age of 87. Let's listen to some of his great calls.
1-0 Seattle, bottom of the 8th, 1 out, no one on. Here's Bernie. It'll be a 3-2. Swung on and hit high in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone! Goes boom! He drills a home run the short way in the right field seats. Burn, baby, burn! And the Yankees tie the ball game at 1. We're tied at 1, and this place is going nuts. One of the most thrilling games you'll ever see. So 2 away, and the Yankees down to their last out. And here's Chino. 1 on, 2 out. Pitch is swung on and drilled to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone! The Bam Chino! With 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th, he drills a game-tying 2-run home run. Oh, the Bambino delivers big time. And the Yankees, on the precipice of defeat, tie the game at 3. One of the most dramatic home runs in the history of the greatest franchise in professional sports. Posada is the base runner, so Brocious, of course, the tying run. With 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th. Now Kim, 1-0. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A 2-out, game-tying 2-run home run by Scott Brocious. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history. Scott Brocious ties the game with a 2-run home run. What was it Al Michaels said? Do you believe in miracles? 56,000 Yankee fans here say, yes, we do. 3-0 to Matsui. The pitch swung on, hit in the air to deep center. Pierre back, away back in deep center. It is gone! Godzilla! A thriller by Godzilla! Hideki Matsui, the sayonara kid, just lost one over the center field fence. A 3-run home run, and the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
Giambi is 4-for-11 lifetime against Trombley. The Yankees are a base hit from getting very close to tying this game. A little old single. The pitch swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Jason Giambi hits the bottom of the 14th. 1 out. Walk-off. Grand slam. And one of the best games you'll ever see. The Yankees rise from the dead in the bottom of the 14th and win the game 13-12. The Giambino. His proudest moment as a Yankee. They mob him at home plate in one of the wildest finishes you'll ever see. Ball game over. Yankees win. Yankees win.
Yeah, you can't play a highlight reel of John Sterling without that signature at the end. And earlier this morning, we played the David Cohn perfect game. That was a beauty. One of the World Series wins with Joe Torre at the helm. Of course, they won three straight, 98, 99, 2000, with our dear friend Joe Torre as the manager. And boy, those were the days. That old Yankee Stadium could roar. It shook. It was something special. And John Sterling was the voice of those Yankee teams for many, many years. Passed away, it was announced this morning, at the age of 87. One of the great old school just radio voices, as I said, a classic voice, but not your typical delivery in the way that he nicknamed some of the players. The way, though, that he connected with the Yankee fans was unmatched. He was theirs, and it was a wonderful time always listening to John Sterling. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go back to the New York area and visit with MLB Network's Greg Amsinger, who is in Secaucus, New Jersey. That is the site for a little bit longer of MLB Network. And then we're going to talk to Cardinals broadcaster Mike Claiborne. Brewers broadcaster Jeff Levering is with us. We have a star-studded lineup on the Gas House Gang, and we'll be back right after this. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Our producers are Daniel Hinkamp and Frank Ladd. And with us from MLB Network is our great pal, Greg Amsinger. He joins us from his illustrious studio there. How are you doing? I hear him coming from a producer, but are we going out over the air there?
I don't think so.
No. I'll tell you what. Let me just give me just a second, and we'll get you back on there. We hear you. I hear you coming out of another part of the studio, but I don't believe you're coming out over the air. So we want to make sure that that is the case. Before we do that, we get back to Greg in just a moment. Let me give you a couple of updates about today, because I do see this on our comments here, hoping that the game won't be postponed tonight. We do see that there is some rain, quite possibly coming in right around 6 o'clock. We hope that that, of course, is short-lived, or hopefully it doesn't arrive at all. But we do have to be aware of the fact that we could see some rain for the Cardinals and Brewers game a little bit later. If we have any updates, of course, we'll pass it along to you. The Cardinals coming off a great sweep of the Dodgers over the weekend, trying to keep this going. The Reds will visit the Cubs at Wrigley Field this evening. It'll be Chase Petty against Edward Cabrera there. The Cardinals right now are trailing the Cubs in the NL Central by 2, and the Reds are right there with the Cardinals, both of them with 20-14 records. And the Cardinals, who have rattled off a 4-game sweep of the Pirates and then 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, come flying in here. But let's not forget, the Brewers have played well recently. They've won 5 of 7 on the heels of a 4-game losing streak, and they've outscored opponents 45-14 during this 7-game stretch. So they come in feeling good about themselves as well. This NL Central is absolutely wild right now. Let's go back to Greg Amsinger and see if we have that audio fixed. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me, Tom Ackerman?
Hello. Loud and clear. I hear you so good. You sound so good, but not as good as John Sterling. I just, it was a tough news this morning, but I've been playing highlights of him today on KMOX, as I did back when I started here in the late 90s, just admiring his enthusiasm and passion for the game. It just comes out. And so when I hear him and listen to him this morning, I have a smile on my face.
You know what, Tom? We grew up idolizing legends like Jack Buck. And what Jack Buck was able to instill in young broadcasters in St. Louis is how important it is to be authentically yourself. Be a one of one, okay? Go down with that ship. Don't try to be like someone else. Don't try to, act like or talk like a different broadcaster. It just never works that way. And John Sterling was a one of one. Crazy story. He was my neighbor for like 4 years. We lived in the same building in Edgewater, New Jersey. This is probably years 3 through 7 of the MLB Network experience. My career there started in 2009. And he lived right on the other side of the George Washington Bridge. We had a great view of the city. But we would be in the gym together, and he would watch my show. And I knew he did because he would bring up everything I said. Oh, I love the segment that you guys did where Dan Plesac was a meteorologist. I thought that was hilarious. And he would bring it up. And remember, I was on till 1 o'clock in the morning every night. So I was on from 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern. He would do the Yankee game. They were home. He'd come back, and he would watch my show. And just a delightful human being. What you heard on the air was literally what he was in real life, which a lot of people just couldn't imagine. But he was a truly beautiful character in real life. So it's a sad day. 87 years, man, oh man, he got to do his dream job. He got his money's worth, and we're all thinking about him today.
I'll be thinking about him throughout today and certainly throughout the season. And what an incredible length of time in which he did games consecutively. I mean, can you imagine 5,060 games in a row, not to mention all the postseason games?
Well, you know, it's a labor of love for guys that get to do what they always dreamt of doing. And it's a triumph to grow up saying, I want to be the play-by-play guy of the New York Yankees. And then you get to finally do that. He was with the Atlanta Braves for a while, and a terrific broadcasting career covering all different sports. But you could tell that once he got that microphone, once he was doing that gig, he didn't want to let go of it. And Yankee fans didn't want to let go of him. They wanted him back home playoff games towards the end when he was in his 80s, and he would do that. He had fun with it. He played with it. And it is an entertainment industry. So many people they grade their broadcast by whether or not they stumbled, right? But did you have fun? If I'm listening to Tom Ackerman on the radio, one of the many reasons why I love you as a broadcaster, I can hear your tails wagging. I can hear that you're literally doing what you always wanted to do when you were a little boy. John Sterling was that way into his 80s. So it sounds crazy that he didn't miss a game, but when you know the man, it's not, because he was doing what he loved.
It's so well said. Just love that about him and about all of those who've been able to do that. You know, I'm going to go to Cooperstown in July. I know you've become a fixture there because I want to see my friend Joe Buck get his proper due. And he is going to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I think that's going to be an amazing day. And I always spend an exorbitant amount of time going through all of those great displays, but I spend some time in the broadcaster's wing and just imagine and watch and listen, and just have Joe Buck join that is going to be an amazing thing.
Let me tell you, people always say that certain broadcasters are the soundtrack to their lives, right? Because you spend so much time listening to games, watching games. Joe Buck is the voice of a big game, and it's not really a big game unless Joe Buck's voice is attached to it, to so many people. I mean, he had been the voice of the biggest sporting events in the world for such a long time, notably the World Series. Obviously, people in St. Louis, like me from St. Louis, we remember him as one of the play-by-play broadcasters of the Cardinals when he was a young man in his 20s. But, you know, there are certain people that were just gifted. And he did the work, and he was well-read, and he still is to this day. But my goodness, he exudes cool. And you know, his father taught me that the greatest compliment you can ever get is when someone meets you as a broadcaster and they want to have a beer with you. Like, they would give anything to sit and talk baseball or walk down the fairway and talk baseball with you, right? In my case, people watch MLB Network and they just want to talk baseball with me. I think that is such a great compliment. There would be no one better to have a beer with than Jack Buck. Joe Buck's right there. Like, you want to have a beer with Joe Buck because he was cool. He made sports were already cool, but you put someone who exudes cool in the booth, and it just makes the experience even better. So I tip my cap to a remarkable broadcasting career that's still going. You know, he's still in his mid-50s, and he's as talented as any human that's ever done this for a living. And I just, as you, cannot have more respect for the great Joe Buck.
I've only been truly starstruck a few times in this business, and you and I have been able to interview the biggest names in sports. But in 2004, I was at Dodger Stadium, and I was walking through the broadcast area, and just me in the hallway, and Vin Scully comes walking up. And he sees I'm wearing a KMOX polo, and he goes, KMOX, that's a great station. How are you, young man? And I said, Mr. Scully, I'm Tom Ackerman. I just wanted to thank you for all that you've done for baseball. He goes, well, thank you, young man. That's wonderful. And then walks off. I'm like, oh, geez, I blew it, man. I blew it with Scully. And then I see him later in the game, like up in the little vending area getting a soda or whatever. And he goes, hey, Tom, how you doing? Wow. I mean, right. The guy was the absolute greatest. It transitions into what we saw over the weekend, because every time I see the Dodgers, I think of Vin. And I think of the great history of that franchise. And, you know, on paper, the Dodgers should have walked in here and pushed the Cardinals around, but not this Cardinals team. This Cardinals team's got a little something to it. And I'll tell you what, had they had a little luck go their way yesterday, they put a lot of balls in play, they might have swept them. I mean, that was a pretty darn good performance by your St. Louis Cardinals.
Let me tell you something, Tom. This is my 18th season at MLB Network, and I like to say this all the time because it's a theme. When I see a young player or any player, and their outs are loud, when their outs are impressive, I go, oh, that guy's about to get hot. His outs look good. Or he's so red hot right now, his outs look good. Like that same thing with teams. Look at the last four losses for the St. Louis Cardinals. Go back to the Seattle Mariners series. They lost two games by one run. The second game was a slugfest. I think they lost by two, 11-9, something like that. The Mariners were the second best team in American League. At the end of this season, they'll be the second best team in the American League behind the New York Yankees. They have more starting pitching depth than any team out there. Cal Raleigh was starting to come out of it. I know he's hurt right now. J-Rod, Rosarena, they all had great series. The Cardinals are right there neck and neck with them. They got swept. It was the most impressive we got swept I've seen all year long. Then you look at the last game of this Dodger series, and going into the ninth inning, the Cardinals hadn't struck out. So you have eight innings of nothing but contact. Robleski is this kid that everyone's talking about. Wow, this lefty's doing great things. Cardinals put the ball in play for eight innings. Didn't strike out. So even their loss, I thought Dustin May competed against his old team, right? Even their losses look good. That is the sign of a scary baseball team. You don't want to face the St. Louis Cardinals right now, especially for the Milwaukee Brewers. And you get all of these injuries left to right, from Churio to Yelich to Woodruff. They've got all these guys that are out right now. Be ready, because the Cardinals have continuity in their lineup. They feel really good about the guys they put out there every fifth day. And their bullpen has now developed roles, which, as you know, covering this sport as long as you've done it, Tom, the bullpens with those really outlined roles, Riley O'Brien is by far the closer. Stanek is comfortably in that seventh, eighth inning stretch now. Romero, we knew was going to be the dominant lefty. Sponson's starting to get the sink back. Once the roles of the bullpen really start to take shape like they are, I was bullish on the Cardinals, and we talked about this before the season started. I'm even more bullish now.
You were not so bullish on the Chicago Cubs. They do lead the way at the moment. They've won five in a row. How do you rate this Central right now with all of them at least three games over 500? But the Cubs lead the Cardinals, as I mentioned a little earlier, by two, and the Reds by two, the Brewers 3.5, and the Pirates 3.5.
I'm comparing all the different compartments of each team, right? Ballesteros, the catcher that's come up hitting second for them, hitting a bunch of bombs, that is a pleasant surprise, right? Like Jordan Walker playing like an MVP. That's a pleasant surprise right now in St. Louis. You got to have those things happen if you're going to be super competitive. I didn't see Ballesteros coming up and being the two-hole hitter for the Chicago Cubs. I'm still very concerned with the injuries to their starting rotation. Justin Steele gets a setback. Cade Horton's lost for the year. They got to go get a starter. I don't think they have the answer in house. They don't have enough swing and miss. I like the Cardinals starting pitching depth. Even in the minor leagues, even though some of their top pitching prospects are struggling right now, I like the Cardinals pitching depth more than I like the Cubs pitching depth. And the Cubs spent a lot of money on some of that pitching depth. The bullpens, to me, give me the Cardinals bullpen any day of the week. I know Palencia's coming back off the IL, but this is not the reclamation project dream bullpen that Craig Counsell put together last year when he had Pomerantz and Keller leading up to this kid, Palencia, who out of nowhere became the closer. A lot of question marks with the Chicago Cubs still. So while they've had a couple pleasant surprises, Pete Crow Armstrong is still struggling mightily in the 8 or 9 spot in their lineup. And they're really, they need Carson Kelly to be a middle of the order bat. We all remember Carson Kelly. Love the guy. One of the sweetest people you ever meet. But the Chicago Cubs need Carson Kelly to be a 5 hitter. So you tell me. You start comparing the rosters. Give me the Cardinals.
The Cardinals and the Brewers tonight. We'll have it for you at 6:45, a 5:50 pregame. Right around that time, Greg Amsterdam will be hitting the air on MLB Network. What are you doing today? I know you'll probably be on right before that. I'm sure you have some tributes to John Sterling that have already been on.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Eastern, the national pregame show. Monday through Friday, I'm with Harold Reynolds and Dan Plesac. I'm going to be a caddy because Dan lost his swing, so I need to be a good caddy. So this is a segment we're going to do, and I'm going to make him think about a reliever that's overlooked. It's got great velo, and then when he does that, hit your drive, and he's going to tee off and hit wiffle ball golf balls into our crew as they're shooting him with a camera. It's going to be fabulous. Then I'm going to have a whole. I've got the caddy apron. I've got the caddy sun hat, the sunglasses. It's going to be SNL meets baseball studio TV, Tom. You're going to like it.
Always coming up with new stuff in that studio. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us on KMOX's Gas House Gang. We love our Monday visits, Greg.
Take care, buddy. See you, man.
Good to talk to Greg Amsinger. Let me tell you about Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best is Chesterfield Fence and Deck. ChesterfieldFence.com. They are located in Chesterfield Valley, yes, but they cover the entire St. Louis metropolitan area. Fences, decks, patios, sunrooms, screen rooms, pergolas. They do it all. Your outdoor living, you're starting to think about it, aren't you? With this spring weather and the summer coming, what am I going to do with my deck and patio? You're going to call Chesterfield Fence and Deck. That's what you're going to do. They've been doing it since 1968. That's 58 years in business. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. Mention me, Tom Ackerman. You will receive 48 months interest-free financing. 48 months interest-free financing on your next outdoor project with Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. We welcome you back to the Gas House Gang. Great visit there with Greg Amsinger of MLB Network. And now we get to visit with Cardinals broadcaster Mike Claiborne. Always a treat. How are you, Claibs?
I'm doing well. Watching some good baseball and looking forward to some tonight against Milwaukee.
Absolutely. And I want to start with this. You had a chance to visit with Yadier Molina, who has himself a red jacket coming his way, and with Albert Pujols as well, officially announced as Cardinals Hall of Famers over the past weekend. You know, it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, that's like the most obvious thing ever. We get it. But it did make me think about the future generations and the legends they will be watching behind home plate on opening days for years and years. It is the next grouping of greats with Adam Wainwright to come.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. And, you know, you talk about Yadi and Albert and Waino. And then I'm wondering, who's after those guys? Who's next? You know, we've had some really good players that have come through here. I don't know if I'd call them all great or red jacket worthy, but I think that's going to be a real challenge down the road to see who's going to be that next group. But I'm going to certainly enjoy watching Albert and Yadi and certainly Waino get that red jacket because they brought us so many great memories, man. I mean, you think about Yadi, and I thought about him today, that home run he hit in New York to get the Cardinals to the World Series in 2006 was something that you least expected from a guy at that stage of his career. But, I mean, there's so many things that we can look back on that we'll certainly cherish.
What has his impact been on this current Cardinals team, Claibs?
You know, I think he's doing more observing. You know, he's always working with the catchers, and I think it's noticeable that our catching, from a mechanic standpoint, is much better. Pedro Páez is throwing much better. Yvonne Herrera is still working on it. But I think his just being around and just giving him advice or just having an observation about something and asking a player, how do you do this the way you do it? I think he's been a very nice, quiet asset to this ball club.
The Cardinals took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, but boy, that game yesterday, it was a unique pitching line for Wroblewski. He doesn't strike out anybody. The Cardinals are putting the ball in play, just couldn't break through.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you bring that up because we saw him last year and he was kind of that guy. But when you go as long as he did and didn't have a strikeout, it kind of reminds you of Cardinal pitchers because we don't strike out a lot of guys either. And there's a way you can still win. He had good defense and he had the timely defensive plays. It was a very unique game when it comes to watching games today because most of the time we're looking for a guy who can strike out 8, 9, 10 guys, but not him. He was very effective. And, oh, by the way, he's a lefty, and you know how lefties have been hard on the Cardinals over the years.
Absolutely. You know, it was really great to see the team play the way that they did, and especially against a team like the Dodgers. Do they get a little extra juice out of the fan base? I don't know. And let's understand that fans are, of course, attracted to the Dodgers and especially Shohei Ohtani, but it made for a festive atmosphere, and I hope there's more to come.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a buzz in the ballpark, and, you know, obviously the Dodgers, they are who they are, and, you know, people are attracted to them, and I certainly understand that. I think what was even more intriguing was the way the Cardinals played the Dodgers. The Cardinals played them tough. You know, you take 2 out of 3, but the way they did it, you know, with timely hitting, we saw some power. We saw some really good defense on Friday night. And, you know, it's all those things that you hope to see when you come to the ballpark and the Cardinals are able to provide it against what's considered the best team in baseball.
I'm very impressed with Jordan Walker, not just the start that he had with 8 home runs, but the fact that he took a little bit of a dip power-wise and then got right back on the horse. And all along, I thought he was taking pretty good at-bats, but here he goes putting a charge in a couple more, and he has 10, Claves.
Yeah, he has 10, Tom. And I'll tell you what I'm even more intrigued with is the fact that he's much more of a selective hitter. You know, he's not getting himself out as much as we've seen him in the past. And I the other thing that stands out, this guy can flat out run, man. I mean, he can take a double with the best of them. I think he has 6 stolen bases now. And he's a guy that they give the green light to. I mean, we're seeing all of his athletic skill unfold right in front of us, and it's really been fun to watch.
I'm so glad you said that because I was going to mention that as well, and he has a cannon out there. It's confidence is an amazing thing. I'd love to see, of course, great performances across the board, but one of the things you're going to have to live with, I think, is that young players are going to go up and down pretty quickly, aren't they, Claves? And we're not going to see this team just rip off win after win after win. It's going to be a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's 17 in a row on the schedule for the Cardinals to win like they did a few years ago. And they're going to have their highs and lows. I think the bigger issue is how do they respond? How do they adjust when somebody does have a slump and somebody doesn't have 2 or 3 games well played back-to-back? You know, what do you do and how do you fix it and how quickly can you learn from it to make sure you don't do it again?
Last couple of things, and that would be on the pitching side. Kyle Leahy. He makes the start tonight. Your thoughts on Leahy and what you saw last time around against the Pirates?
You know, he gives you a chance. You know, he doesn't wow you, but, you know, you turn around, you look, and, you know, he maybe gives up a couple of runs along the way, but, you know, he gives you a legitimate chance. And I think when we talk about growth and development, he is the classic example of that. You know, we knew him out of the bullpen. And with each start, it seems like he has his feet under him even more to be able to contribute and get to the 6th and perhaps 7th inning down the road. If nothing else, get to the order at least 3 times. I think that's the mission these days because, you know, a lot of teams, they get you out after the first 2 times you go through the order. And the numbers show that the 3rd time through the order, the hitters, that's when the hitters start hitting. But I think in Leahy's case, he's been very effective. He doesn't have high pitch counts and things of that nature. He throws strikes. And I'm looking forward to watching him tonight and just seeing them grow, seeing him continue to grow.
And just your overall thoughts on the bullpen, which has grown in some areas, and in others we're seeing some of the same. Issuing walks is not something we need to see out of the pen. But I do feel like they're just throwing them into the fire. Like, guys, figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you got.
Yeah, no. Let's see what you have. And if we don't have enough, we're going to have to find it somewhere else. But I think the 2 stories in the bullpen for me have been the emergence of George Soriano and Gordon Graceffo being able to give you multiple innings. I mean, he was kind of like what we saw with Swanson last season, where he can give you two innings. And we're seeing it with Graceffo. And he comes in, he's throwing strikes, he's changed his delivery, and it's certainly been effective for him. And George Soriano, one of the biggest outs of the season was striking out Shohei Ohtani on Friday night, where the game might have been on the line at that point. So those are the two good stories we have. And as you mentioned, there's some guys who are struggling with the walks right now, but that's something that can be fixed. That comes with the season. And, you know, you just have to stay with it. That's the one thing you have to do. You have to stay with it, follow the plan, and, eventually you'll get better results.
Mike Claiborne on the broadcast tonight. John Rooney, Ricky Horton, Mike Claiborne, Jim Jackson. Doesn't get much better than that in Major League Baseball, and we appreciate you very much. Thanks for coming on the Gas House Game, Claibs.
All right, Tom, we're in the Champions Club tonight, so if anybody's going to come out to the ballpark, come by and hang out with us. And I know there's some good tickets available. Milwaukee's in town, and they're in the division, so we have to do some business with them now. Let's go ahead and get it over with.
All right, that's the Champions Club broadcast. I like that. That's a good one. Thanks for the time, Claibs.
All right, Tom, take care.
NL Central battle tonight at 6:45 on KMOX, the Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Now, back to the Gas House Game.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. And Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
You know, we're just talking baseball in the middle of the day on KMOX. You don't think that does well? Everybody's having some fun with that, especially when the team's playing well. You know, the Brewers are playing well also. Once upon a time, he was the play-by-play broadcaster for the Springfield Cardinals. And he, for a while now, has been with the Milwaukee Brewers as MLB has taken over some of the television broadcasts, Brewers.tv. You can find Jeff Levering. And right now you can find him on KMOX. How are you, Jeff? Well, we'll get to Jeff when we can. I don't hear him. Oh, there he is. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hi, guys. You got me now?
Got you loud and clear, buddy. How are things?
Things are great, thanks. Great to be back in St. Louis, and thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Absolutely. How are the Brewers doing right now?
Well, the Brewers are hanging in there. Treading water for the month of April, had a lot of injuries. About a third of their offense was out for the better part of the month, with Jackson Churio and Andrew Vaughn out basically the entire month of April. We haven't seen Churio yet. And then Christian Yelich out since the middle of April. So it's been tough sledding offensively, but this young pitching staff has really held their own. And the Brewers are right there in the mix with everybody else in the Central.
What's been your impression of the Central? Everybody with a winning record here.
Everybody did what they needed to do to get themselves better. And for the Cardinals, addition by subtraction, it seems like. And just letting the kids play. That's a big deal for them. For the Brewers, they got younger, and the pitching staff, their bullpen has been improved. And just trying to find a way to be dynamic with their offense again, not hitting a lot of home runs, but using their speed to their advantage. I think the division is a blast. This is just the second division series that the Brewers will play this year, which is crazy. They played the Pirates a couple of weekends ago back in Milwaukee. But this is just the second divisional series the Brewers are playing so far this year.
Same here. The Cardinals went to Pittsburgh. They won all four. It was the first time they played an NL Central team. Now they get to host the Brewers, coming off taking two out of three from the Dodgers. Jeff, this Milwaukee team with a sneaky good starter, I feel like. This Chad Patrick's pretty good. And
yeah.
What have been your thoughts so far?
Yeah, he's been great, and he's a bulldog. I mean, he's a guy that's been passed up a couple of times from other organizations. He's a Division II former collegiate player, but a guy who's going to throw a ton of fastballs, sinker, four-seamer, cutter. He's been working on a slurve, which has some pretty good bite to it. But he's not going to back down from any fight, man. He's probably my number one pick in a bar fight on this Brewers roster, that's for sure. But they've unearthed him, Kyle Harrison, who the Cardinals will miss in this series. But he's been unbelievable. Guy the Brewers got in the deal with the Red Sox for Caleb Durbin, a Wash U guy. So those two guys have been the anchors. And, of course, Jacob Mizorowski, who's been unreal. He's on tap to potentially start on Wednesday, but we'll see after he had to leave the game with a cramp in the middle of a no-hitter a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him, but that's still on hold. I see that that's TBD at the moment. And then just your overall impression, if you would, of what this Cardinals team is trying to do just overall for the long term. I feel like we're all trying to copy the Brewers at this point. I mean, the Brewers, like if you're a mid-sized market, you have to admire how Milwaukee did it. How do you do it, and what do you think the Cardinals are trying to do?
Well, I think that the Cardinals are doing the things the way that they used to do it. So when I was in the organization, which was 10 through 12, they developed exceptionally well through the draft. They did really well in their international signing. I mean, my starting rotation in Springfield when I was there my last year in 2012 was Carlos Martinez, Kevin Segrist, Trevor Rosenthal, Seth Maness, all guys that ended up going into the big leagues and having a huge impact on that roster. So I think that the Cardinals are kind of going back to those roots, the big contracts. I think that the biggest thing for the Cardinals these days, they had some patience with Jordan Walker, and it's really starting to pay off for them. They brought up J.J. Weatherholt, who I think has really been a catalyst for this offense so far this year. And they're just getting back to the basics and playing fundamental baseball. And I loved what Oliver Marmol said after the ball game a couple days ago. Listen, you have to earn the right to have fans back in the ballpark. And fans were frustrated with what was going on in St. Louis for the last couple of seasons, I would say. So to have fans back over the weekend, and maybe it was the Ohtani effect with the Dodgers in town and all of that. I think that Cardinals fans were very smart, understand what winning baseball looks like, and they're starting to see it again in St. Louis.
Jeff Levering is with us, does such a great job in the booth. I mean, the Brewers are a great watch and listen, and you've worked with some of the best, Brian Anderson, BA, one of our favorites. And, of course, Bob Uecker. And I thought of you all today after John Sterling, it was announced that he had passed away. Another legend of the game at 87. It's hard because you have such glowing, wonderful memories of these broadcasters, but it's so hard to see him go.
It is. And you know, I feel for the entire Yankee franchise. And I saw a stat today that John Sterling called nearly 50% of every postseason game that the Yankees ever played, which is insane to me because they've won 27 World Series. And granted, you play more games now and the rounds are longer and all that stuff, and I understand all of that. But the fact that John Sterling nearly called 50% of all of the postseason games in Yankee franchise history is nuts. And for Bob Uecker, he called all but, let's see, the Brewers played 9 games last year. He had called all but 9 playoff games in the history of the Brewers franchise. So I understand it. It's a tough day for Yankees fans. I've had great interactions with John Sterling over the course of my career. Not many, because we were in different divisions. But to sit in a booth with Bob Uecker talking with John Sterling and just being a fly on the wall for that conversation, not suitable for a radio conversation, but man, do I have great memories of it.
How are things going with Brewers TV? You have that new look production, just like we do here in St. Louis. Seems to be going well for us.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's great. And to have the resource at the blink of an eye to say, hey, listen, let's get some footage of XYZ from Brewers Cardinals game of whatever year and have it at their disposal is so helpful to have that resource of Major League Baseball behind us and having different camera angles. I love the wire cam, the dirt cam. We've had drones come around, and I think we're going to have drones basically for the rest of the season, which is a really cool look, especially when you're flying inside and the roof is closed. Once the roof is open in Milwaukee, I think it's going to be really, really cool. Plus the umpire cam, I think we're debuting in our next series at home against the Yankees. So, I mean, the Brewers are really doing a good job of trying to add some technology and give fans a different look at what baseball is all about. And the beauty is that we can make it what we want it. And you have some really cool opportunities to make this channel whatever you want it to be. And I think the Brewers have really embraced that.
One quick thing left for you. Do you have a St. Louis routine? I know you hit all these cities. Do you do anything specific in St. Louis that you have to do, or do you change it up?
Where we stay out in Clayton, so I always make a trip. Of course, my favorite coffee shop here in town, which is right down the street, in Caldy's. I always hit that place up, and then there's a breakfast place that I go, which is Colleen's, which is right down the street. And if I'm feeling super ambitious, it usually gives me a nap, and if I'm on the radio, maybe I'll do it. But the calzone spot that's down here in Clayton, oh my God, it is so good.
Sauce on the side?
Sauce on the side, and it definitely requires a nap after.
I hear that. Great to hear from you. Thank you for doing this. Have a great call tonight, and we wish you guys the best.
Appreciate you. We'll chat with you again soon.
Jeff Levering, Brewers broadcaster, with us. That's the Gas House Gang, folks. Great to be with you. Our pregame comes your way at 5:50 this evening.